section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting, one show at a time.
The views and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of the hosts. All the penis jokes, racial statements, and inappropriate comments should not be associated with our guests and sponsors. This show is for entertainment purposes only, and if you're easily offended, we suggest you stop listening now. But if you do, you will deprive yourself of the most amazing auditory orgasm ever. And who doesn't like a good auditory orgasm?
I am about to tell you something that'll change the face of history.
Coming to you live from the dirty stalls of the IBWIP studio and the airwaves of Silent Storm Radio, please welcome Amish BJ, Cold Beer Coley, and the podcasting god,
Amen.
Blake Clayton, and another fucked up episode of It Burns When I Pee.
We're not total dicks.
Follow that, bitch.
1, 2, 3, 4... When I turn my radio dial, all I hear is pop country. Those corporate jerks sure get on my nerves. That ain't country to me.
Now it burns when I pee. It burns when I pee.
That's what Nashville did to me. So let's take a piss on the Nashville music fest. Cause
now it burns when I pee.
Lizards don't love you. They take your money, then they run. They're just professional company, trying to have a little fun. A lot of lizards want truckers, the nightmare of a trucker's wife. So stay away from Party Road if you don't want one in your life. Hey, when I pull into the TA, I stop for fuel and for sleep. I don't park nowhere near Party Road to get some loving that is cheap. I drive this truck to make my money. I don't park this truck so I can spend. A bunch of my hard-earned pay on a temporary friend. A lot of lizards don't love you. They take your money, then they run. They're just professional company, trying to have a little fun. A lot of lizards want truckers, the nightmare of a trucker's wife. So stay away from Party Road if you don't want one in your life. There's advertisements on the CB, taking on up to Channel 22. And if you turn your dial there, you'll find out just what to do. Well, you tell them where to find you if you're looking for a thrill. And then you get a little loving for a $100 bill. A lot of lizards don't love you. They take your money, then they run. They're just professional company, kind of having a little fun. A lot of lizards want truckers, the nightmare of a trucker's wife. So stay away from Party Road if you don't want one in your life. Stay away from Party Road if you don't want one in your life.
Well, I guess I don't. I gotta look all proper. I need like a desk.
Yes, we need desks.
Like
official Carson. Important people.
Right, Carson. I can have like, you know, throw a pencil.
Yeah, like David Letterman.
Right. All right, well, welcome everybody to episode number 92 of It Burns When I Pee. Another special in-house, in-studio. It's not a house, it's a studio.
Yes.
We have the one and only Ray Lawrence Jr. Ray, welcome to the show.
All right, thank you.
And that is Root Beer, just to let everybody know.
This is Root Beer. It is not Lone Star. Right. I'm a big Dale Watson fan, but this is not a Lone Star. That Lone Star does not make Root Beer yet.
We just got done hearing Ray play Lot Lizard, which is one of my favorite songs from the first album. So I got some questions for you, and we'll play some more music. You kind of burst onto the scene, or you kind of really picked up speed when you appeared on the Hank 3 Ghost to Ghost CD. How long have you been playing music before that opportunity came up?
I started off right about age 5. So messed around with vocals, drums, and things like that. And then later on, got into keys and just learning about music and doing little bit shows at schools and stuff like that, church functions. Then about age 14, I started playing around with my dad's guitar and almost got my fingers cut off for it. Said, that's my guitar! So I started learning how to play, and I ended up getting these little cheap Stella guitars and just kept on going with it. Finally learned how to write songs, and it just kind of went from there.
When did you kind of make it your career move to like do that full time?
Shortly after the Hank 3 thing, I decided, well, the economy's not doing so good. I'm actually making a couple bucks doing this, playing shows and whatnot. So I said, why don't I just say hell with it and just go. Just get out on the road, play some music, write some songs, see what I can do with it.
When we had Hank 3 on the show last year, we talked to him about you guys' first meeting. Why don't you tell us kind of your recollection of how you guys met and how it came to be that you got on the album?
Yeah, this was like in 2002. I heard there was a radio station out in California playing what they called the California Hidden Country. And here comes this song, Loving and a Hug, and I'm like, who the hell is this dude on the radio here? And they're like, that's Hank Williams the Third. So, yeah, I knew Bocephus had a son, but I didn't know he was singing. And come to find out, that's who it was. So I got to get our hauled ass back to the house, got on the computer, found out, who the hell is this Hank 3 dude? What's he doing on the scene? Let's hear it. Why aren't we hearing more of this on the radio? Because this is some badass music.
Right.
Then I found a bunch more music on there, and I go, where can I get these records at? So I went down and got one. Well, when I got on the website, there's this big thing come up. Hank Williams III is looking for a new bass player that can do the metal set and can do the country set. And I said, I think I can do this. And I had an upright bass I bought, so I started talking to him. How do I get this gig?
Right.
I'm ready to go. I got all the gear I'm gonna need. I got all the amplifiers, everything I needed. And then, because at the time, Joe Buck was going to go play with the Shack Shakers.
Right.
Incredible musician. A lot of people don't know much about his playing, but he's a great banjo picker, songwriter, guitar player. And plus he's playing the kick drum.
Sure.
And then I go, I want this gig. I really want to get out on the road and play some music. And I go, this would be a good thing for me and help out my family a little bit, you know, at the time I was still married. And then, so we had that show come up at the Roxy next year, which would be like May of 2003, and I actually got to sit and talk. We've been talking online off and on, getting to know some of the folks from the old Hank 3 board. And we just started finding we had a lot of things in common. I got nailed with a child support thing, too, about the same, well, kind of similar situations.
Sure.
Like, his granddad was friends with a blues player. My granddad was friends with a blues player. My granddad was friends with Muddy Waters.
Okay.
His granddad was friends with Rufus T. Top Payne.
Sure.
Taught him how to play guitar. And it was like, we had all these things musically in common, and then here comes the Hillbilly compilation disc. Now, this is like later in 2003, we're putting this thing together. The object of the game was you covered a Hank 3 song, and then you contributed one of your own.
Right.
The whole thing was called the Damn Bands Tribute to Shelton Hank Williams III. That was about the time that Curb Record deal was going on.
Sure.
So I got to meet a bunch of great people online that way. Got to talk to JB Beverly. And later on, we got to actually talk at a show because he went on tour with Hank 3. And I've been visiting with him, hung out with Super Joint Rachel a couple times. I think once there in Ventura, California. And then we just got to know each other musically. I'd asked him permission to do the song Cecil Brown, which I covered.
Sure.
The Right Time to Leave You was one I contributed to that thing. And it's something that kind of started changing my life. People started, hey, this is, I can write some songs and put some things out. Talked to Shelton, and after that thing came out, says, man, you need to crack down on this writing, do write every day. And he pretty much was a big inspiration for me to take my writing more serious and do something with it. And that's how I ended up getting my own publishing company. He pretty much got me in the right direction.
Sure.
He's been real instrumental in getting a lot of people recognized musically that probably wouldn't otherwise get known. Wayne the Train Hancock, two songs on the Hank 3 on his album, on Lovesick Broken Drift. Oh, wait a minute. Well, it was before that. No, it was on Rising Outlaw.
Yeah.
Yeah, 87 Southbound. 87 Southbound. And they had the other one on Thunderstorms and Neon Signs, and I said, who the hell is this guy, and where the hell can I find his records?
Right, and I think that's way a lot of people have gotten into this genre of music is through Hank 3. I mean, you hear him, and then, you know, for me, 6 or 7 years ago, the Hank 3 message board was huge.
It was because, giant.
Yeah, and everybody was cool, and everybody used to share music, and it was always, you found one band, the next day you found another band, and you're running to the mail every day to get CDs from everybody.
It was like more crazier than like CD Baby or something. If you wanted to learn about a different artist, that's where you went.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely.
You know, and the big thing was like, okay, we're gonna go see the Head Hellbilly in Charge. That's what we're kind of a term of endearment for Hank 3.
Right.
So, hey, we're gonna see the Head Hellbilly in Charge. We get on the message board. I didn't know who the Murder Junkies were, Little White Pills, until that time. You know, JB Beverly. Well, G.G. Allin was with that too. And right. I go, whoa. All these people I heard about, and I go, now I'm getting to talk to some of the people that knew him and actually did the music.
Sure.
And it went from just going from not just country, punk rock, rockabilly. There's a big rockabilly circuit that I didn't even know about.
Right.
And it's like, wow. But all these people through that Hank 3 message board, that was kind of like the center of everything right there. And you learned about different musicians, their styles of playing. Mm-hmm. People learned who did tabs, who did artwork.
Sure, yep.
You know, guys like Eric Vaughn, you know, that great artwork.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Star Visions, get some of that stuff if you can.
So, your first album was titled Raw and Unplugged.
Mm-hmm.
And your latest album, which just came out recently, is More Raw Stuff, which are both great albums, and both of them are just you and your guitar.
Yes.
And so, I was wondering, you know, do you enjoy playing solo acoustic?
I would love to have a band. I'd love to have a big old tour bus, but right now it's a money thing.
Sure.
If I could have players with me on a bus, turn around the country, doing it like that, that's what I'd really like to do, because it opens yourself up for more shows. There's shows that venues prefer an entire band instead of just a solo act. So I'm good for like the lounge shows.
Right.
So I'm going to be doing a couple of those coming up. And then to have a band to play with, it just adds more to the music. There's so much more you can do instrumentally,
right,
and stuff. And plus with the vocals and all that, and get other players singing with you, it just adds more to it.
So you have a number of really good, like, broken heart songs, you know, the typical country broken heart songs.
Mm-hmm.
And do these songs obviously come from personal experience? And do you kind of live by, like, the songwriter creed, I guess, is you really have to live it, to write it.
Yeah, do you remember the movie Songwriter?
Mm-hmm.
And they had that song, I think, Sleep at the Wheel did it once. And I had that tape, I think it's still in storage, and it said that one line in the song, I'm not sure, I don't, did Willie write that one?
I'm not sure.
But I remember he sang part of that. He goes, we live what we write, and we write what we live. Is that wrong?
It's a good quote to have. So tell us a little bit about your childhood. Where did you grow up, and, you know, what were you like as a child?
Well, I was the only hell my mom ever raised. Pretty much so. I was always getting in a lot of trouble. I'd raised up Southern California Navy town out in Port Hueneme. It's in Ventura County. And I went to school there, and it's like music had always been a part of my life because my dad's from Dallas Tech, actually Oak Cliff, Texas. Mom was partly raised in Arkansas, but she was born in Chicago, and that's where I was born, Davy Brat. Grew up there in Southern California. Now, back in the 60s, that was a hotbed for country music.
Definitely.
Big hotbed. Not far down, like Long Beach, you had a lot of players down there. And like Cal Worthington, Johnny Mosby used to work down there, and he started a club up in Ventura. At that time, that's where that was the big thing, the Bandar nightclub in Ventura. Before that, when I was a little bitty guy, it was like Club Vegas was another place, or they used to call it the Vegas Club too. That's where Johnny Cash used to play.
Okay.
Johnny Cash had a house up in Casita Springs.
Oh, okay.
Which is like maybe 35-40 miles away from where I was raised.
So you were kind of growing up in like a, right in the middle of like
there were,
a huge heartbeat.
Yeah, back in the 60s, that was pretty much a hotbed. A lot of pastors through town would go to the PCH, Pacific Coast Highway, and they would stop. There was a little restaurant there, used to be called the Ranch House. It no longer exists, a gas station now. And every once in a while, you see some movie star or country artist traveling through. They were coming by to visit. And it was kind of like the little, kind of like the crossroad, or like was go down that area. But you had, well, Johnny Mosby brought Ray Price in that club. He's played there. Johnny Cash played there. Merle Haggard's played there. Glenn Campbell played at the same club I played at and got fired 2 weeks later. The song By the Time I Get to Phoenix was released.
Hmm.
So a lot of famous songs and music came out of that area there. And it was kind of cool to be a part of that. Buck Page from Riders of the Purple Sage, who I was friends with up until he passed away, he lived in that area. So we got to play a few times.
So what was your first job that you had, paying job that you had?
As far as playing music goes?
No, you just your regular first job.
Oh, I just mowing lawns and things like that, paper routes, things like that kids usually do.
Sure. And what was your main career, I guess, your income before you got into music? What were you?
I drove trucks.
You drove trucks?
I got into diesel mechanics and driving trucks and things like that. Everything from a delivery truck all the way up to a tractor trailer rig. I'd pull a tanker, I'd pull a skateboard, and I ran a reefer box for a while. Pulled produce in California, and I did 11 Western for a while.
Wow. So being on the road is not something new for you?
No, it's something that I was 10 years old when we took our first trip from California to Oak Cliff, Texas, and then to Hot Springs, Arkansas. It was the last time I saw four of my grandparents alive.
Wow.
And we had an old 59 International travel off. And my dad paid $300 for this thing, like 1970-something. And here it is, 1973, we're taking off back east. First time this is going to be the last time I'd seen all four of my grandparents alive. It's part of where that song Hobo Story came from. And I saw all these lights in the trucks and started getting nose full of diesel smoke at 10 years old. And I said, I'm going to be a truck driver.
That's cool.
Love country music and love trucks. And I say, yeah, I hear Red Simpson on the radio. And then go, yeah, I'm going to be this guy. This guy he's singing about. Yeah, I'm going to be that guy.
Well, one of the songs that we're going to play tonight, Check This in the Mail, is off the Raw and Unplugged album. And it's like an anthem for me, because I know a lot of other guys, too, that song is very, very true. What was the inspiration for you writing that?
That all started from a joke at a play. I was working at this call center, and we were having a smoke break, and everybody's going outside back when I'd quit smoking then, but everybody's going outside just to get away from the phones for a bit, and we were cracking jokes and thinking about, hey, I wonder if they repossessed my ex if I missed an alimony payment. And it was like they all started cracking up laughing. I said, that might be a good thing for a song. Went back in and wrote it.
Wow. That's awesome. Well, you're going to play the song for us, and then we'll come back and do some more of the interview. Sound good?
That sounds great.
All right.
This serves to and called Checks in the Mail. Little Buck Owens inspired thing. Did this at work. In one place I was working, we were telling jokes, and I said, well, I wonder if they'll repossess my ex. I missed an alimony payment. That's what started the whole song.
Well, they repossess my exit for missing out the money payment. Not to repossess my pickup truck last night. Well, she don't drive me to the bar, but she sure drove me to drinking. We got divorced because she lies to fight. We can't afford to pay attention, cause she got my full paycheck. But if I paid attention, my life wouldn't be a wreck. Didn't hear it when they told me this marriage would fail. But I hear the postman leaving now, the check's in the mail. Well, she don't want me anymore, but she likes my order and pay. She never took my love, but she took everything away. She took me to the poorhouse the day that she took me to court. I wonder why we got married anyway. I can't afford to pay attention, cause she got my whole paycheck. But if I paid attention, my life wouldn't be a wreck. Didn't hear it when they told me this marriage would fail. But I hear the postman leaving now, the check's in the mail. If she'd meet a millionaire, that would take her far away. Then I could afford to eat, because she wouldn't take my bed. She wants so bad to kill me, but she won't let me die. All she cares about is money anyway. She can't afford to pay attention, cause she got my whole paycheck. But if I paid attention, my life wouldn't be a wreck. Didn't hear when she told me this marriage would fail. But I hear the postman leaving now, the check's in the mail. Didn't hear it when they told me this marriage would fail. But I hear the postman leaving now, the check's in the mail.
Pay attention, folks. Here is how you contact the show. We love your feedback, so get off your lazy asses and get a hold of us. You can email Blake at ibwip.com, IMSBJ at ibwip.com, and coldbeer at ibwip.com. That's my mom and dad. We also have a dial-in number that you can use to leave us a voicemail or call in during the live taping. Now program this into your phone. 1-203-429-4711. We look forward to hearing from you, and remember, boob pics are always welcome.
More booby pics! More booby pics! More booby pics! More booby pics!
All right, we're back with Ray Lawrence Jr. We just got in here and checks in the mail. I want to talk about Spanky the Sock Monkey.
Spanky the Sock Monkey, that's my road buddy right there. He goes everywhere.
And how did that come about?
Well, living as close to Rockford, Illinois, for people that don't know, the Sock Monkey was actually invented there in Rockford, Illinois. They were actually called Rockfords at one time. I think that's the socks that they're made from is actually called Rockfords, too. But the monkeys originally were called Rockfords, according to some little Wikipedia thing I was reading it, but... living in that area, you kind of see sock monkeys everywhere.
Right.
They actually have a sock monkey roundup thing. We were going to go to it and missed out. We had something else come up, but it was kind of fun to watch. They showed it on the news, and people were actually making a sock monkey. And there's another thing about Hank Three's old contract writer. I don't know if he still got that in there or not, but it used to be you had to have a sock monkey, a great white shark, and two bags of Cool Ranch Dorito chips. So it kind of got to be a running joke when we went to a Hank Three show.
Sure.
I'd go out and I'd find a monkey or a shark and a couple bags of Doritos. I'd bring it up to the bus just in fun. He'd start cracking up. But the sock monkey kind of, it took a few years, but all of a sudden we were sitting there on the road. Heather and I was going, hey, she goes, let's get a sock monkey. And I goes, what do you mean? So Yeah, let's get a sock monkey. Okay, fine. Let's make a Facebook page for
it. Right. I was going to say, I'm definitely going to put the sock monkey Facebook page link on the, in the show notes.
I can't remember if we got them in Arizona or did we actually get them in Rockford? I can't remember. But anyway, we went down to Walgreens and got him. And it's like the joke started happening right after that. Sock monkey started doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Sock monkey likes to drink whiskey. He loves Old Smoky Moonshine, okay? The guy's a lush. He's a troublemaker, too. His parents are in captivity right now, and John Becker goes ahead and gets... we're going to have to negotiate a release on his parents because it's pretty bad. This thing has been going on Facebook. It's going crazy. We went to the house, got on the computer, and there must have been like 15 different pages of Sock Monkey pages, and two more end up getting put together just because of that from other friends of mine.
That's funny.
And it's just kind of a running joke that's progressively getting bigger.
And it just goes to show when you're on the road and you have a lot of time in the car.
Yeah, you get out there on the road and you run out of things to do and think about, so you come up with something new and crazy. You might go some off the road someplace and the roadside stop. I like going on all these. Get on the 40. She hates the 40. I get on the 40 and go, let's stop over at this Bolin's place over here. If it's a roadside Route 66 stop, I'm going.
About 45 minutes from Rockford North, it's like the second or third exit into Wisconsin, there is the Highway Hummer. Have you ever heard of that?
that's up by past Jamesville, isn't it?
It's not too far into Wisconsin.
To go to hang out with Owen Mays up there at his place, and he invited us up for dinner where he's going to go play somewhere. And we end up, I'd go, what the heck is this place?
It's the only place you can get gas, food, and vibrators.
Yeah.
It's awkward.
And then you go into Oklahoma. We're going from Rockford, and we're going into Phoenix because I got to play a show out there. And I had to go see my kid and one of them. And we get out there and going through a town called Hooker, Oklahoma. Not far from Beaver Creek. And then they had, there's the name of this softball team or whatever it was. Hooker Horny Toads. Yes. And the American Legion sponsors this team.
Nice.
And I go, what kind of town? And I go, and they had the Hooker Hotel too. Wow. I go, yeah, I could just see, I'll do a show here and I'll do Lot Lizards Don't Love You. Then I won't get any tips.
Right, exactly. It's the wrong place to play that song.
Don't play that song there. There's crazy stuff you'll see on the road. What was that one creek we went across coming out here? I can't remember the name of it. But there's like innuendos all over the place.
Yeah.
And then you're going down the road and it's like your mind starts getting kind of in the gutter driving down the road and you say, yeah, look at that. And you start making jokes about this stuff. But if you don't get out there and travel, you're not going to see any of this stuff.
You're going to miss out on it.
And there's so much cool stuff to see.
You also have a good knack of writing funny, like witty tunes such as Lot Lizards Don't Love You, Backstage Betty, and Dick and Cider.
That's right. That's about an apple orchard with apple cider. Depending on which gutter, side of the gutter your mind's in.
The first time I played it for Molly, she's like, oh, that's a good song. And then about halfway through, she goes, wait a minute. But do you think it's important to have fun with songwriting
you can't be so serious. I mean, there's a mode of seriousness to the music and everything because you want to get a serious song out there. You're trying to get that feeling into somebody's face and in their heart and their mind. My philosophy is, when people come out to see a show, they're trying to forget the crap they went through all week long.
Right.
Okay, all the problems of their life. It's kind of like I'm a therapist for them, in a way. I want people to forget all that garbage. Get the blues, I want to hit home. I want to, like, take a pitchfork, go right to your heart, and say, this is the way it is, and start twisting it around. And then build them back up with something funny like that.
Sure.
So it's not all about being totally serious to the point like
you can't take yourself too seriously.
Can't be like Case Hardened Steel or anything like that.
Right.
You got to be a little flexible.
Right.
It's entertaining people and helping them to get stuff out of their system. And I'm gonna make a couple bucks on the show. That's not what it's all about. it's a gift that I was blessed with, and to help people heal from their pains and stuff they go through in life. That's the important part.
Awesome.
I get people sending me messages all the time about stuff like that, and I've got some pretty close friends on Facebook. And one of them told me that that one song kept him from killing himself. Wow. That was on the Hank 3 record, and I was like, oh, wow.
Right.
That wasn't the first message I got. And I said, okay, now this is getting a little more than music here. Right. Somebody's blessed me with a gift, and I've got to use it for some good.
Right.
This goes way beyond money.
Sure.
This is about people helping people out, and I go, okay, well, if this is my job, this is my calling in life, I can't take it totally serious, but I got to... You know,
sure.
I'm just helping the whole. I just feel I got this mission I'm supposed to be on to help people out with music.
Awesome. So, what style of guitar do you use?
I got this Martin Custom D that I play on, and that I picked this up at Guitar Center in Phoenix. The guy that brought this guitar brought two other guitars with, and told him his health was going downhill, and he just was not going to be able to play anymore. And this was the last guitar they all sold within a few minutes. That one stayed on the floor maybe 45 minutes at the most, and I put my hand on it.
What do you look for in a guitar?
I like a good... Well, Martin's like my favorite. The Gibsons, I've played a few of those, but just I've been drawn more toward the Martins because anybody has played a Martin at least once.
Right.
Dylan, Hank Williams, Johnny Cash, Hank Jr., I think three may have played one once or twice. I imagine he's got his hands on a couple of granddad's guitars.
Sure.
Because that's just how it is. It's the sound that comes out of these things. A lot of the guys I get to tour with, they play Martins. Just for me, that's the sound that does it for me.
Right.
And I tried to do the Gibson for some reason. I like the Gibsons. Gibsons don't really like me as much as I like them.
Right.
But that Martin, for some reason, that guitar found me.
It's kind of like a good pair of boots. When you find one that fits you, that's
another one of my songs. I'll probably be going on another. I'm working on something else. I'm not sure if it's going to be a total acoustic. I might throw some bass in there. I need somebody to help me out in the studio. I suck as a recording engineer.
I'm not very good at it either.
But that's one of the song titles I have, and that'll go on another recording. But that Martin will be on that recording too.
What's your favorite song of all time, and why?
My favorite song of all—that's kind of a hard thing. That's one question to ask a musician. You're probably going to get 1,000 different answers. Same guy you asked it to. But there's a bunch of songs out that I really, really, really like. And Hank Sr.'s got almost all of them on there in that list. But, yeah, there's other songs, too. I'm a big bluegrass fan, like Jimmy Martin and Dr. Ralph Stanley and Tony Rice and John Hartford and all them guys.
Alone and Forsaken by Hank Sr. is probably my all-time favorite song.
That right there
is very powerful. Very powerful song.
Yeah, I think Rachel Brook did a version of that, if I remember. That Lone and Forsaken, I think Rachel Brook did a copy of that, cover of that one.
Oh, I'll have to check it out.
Was it her that did it, I think?
It's on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was somewhere. She's like an incredible singer and entertainer, and it's like, wow. Good. I like that she got that video up there and seeing.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of, it was really cool. It was really big for her and for everybody.
I'm like, whoa. One of our circles getting up on the
exactly.
Finally.
So you had mentioned earlier that you were going to a show to do in Phoenix, and that you're going to see one of your kids. How many kids do you have?
I got three daughters that I know of. Okay, my oldest one, she's her mom and I had problems, and then it's like as a usual story, you know how that works. That's where the song "The Right Time to Leave You" came out of. That was, you know. I'm paying on a couple other ones, but we got to get DNA checks on them, so we're going to leave them out of the picture right now, too. It's not that I don't hate anybody. I just want to make sure before I start putting... It's like the quality goes in before the name goes on, you know what I'm saying? Okay, but that's a long story.
Do they support your music and your career?
Got my 15-year-old daughter does. She's a big, huge fan of my music.
Awesome.
She loves Hank 3's music. her main goal in life right now is, I want to go to a Hank 3 show. folks have custody of her right now, so. But yeah, my little Marianne, she loves hearing all the music.
That's awesome.
And she loves my songs. She likes to sing along with them and stuff. She put a Hank 3. She's got one Hank 3 CD that she'll just wear out.
Right.
Loves Sick, Broken, Drifting. She loves singing.
Which is probably the best Hank 3 CD.
That's a lot of people have said that one. The other one, the Ghost to a Ghost. Mm-hmm. I like all the stuff that he's done because as a writer, I respect that.
Sure.
And he's able to take so many different genres of music and put them out there. But it's like, I was surprised how many kids, like 12 and 13 years old, are like listening to his stuff. And some of them end up listening to my music too.
Right.
And it's like, wow.
So where the most important part, the plug part, where do folks go to get your CDs and to, find out where you're playing.
Okay, now, if you go on, I got this website that's 44.com. That's the official Ray Lawrence Jr. website. You probably find a link to it. Hit me up on Facebook. I'll send you the link. I go to CD Baby. This is like Ray Lawrence Jr. CD Baby. I got the two albums up there right now. I'm working on a single release because I had a lot of requests for that. You can find my music on SoundCloud, on MySpace. There's actually a link to the store on my Facebook band page. And I think there's one on the main page, too, if I remember right. You can get CDs from me at shows. That's another thing. I try to carry as many things that I merch-wise for CDs as
sure.
I can in that little tiny box I got there.
All right, well, we'll definitely put all the links up on the show notes so everybody can get access to them. You're going to play one more song for us, The Right Time to Leave You.
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much for being on the show,
appreciate
Ray. Pleasure
that.
Finally meeting
thanks,
you.
Thanks for having me here. That's a lot of fun.
It's good times. All right, folks.
First time I heard somebody do a drop D, Waylon. All right, this here is called The Right Time to Leave You. Oh, I should be unhappy. So blue, I can't keep holding on to a love that's going nowhere. So I guess this is the right time to leave you. Well, woman, you keep giving my heart a bad time. This bad attraction always makes us fight. End up killing each other. So staying together sure as hell ain't right. My whole world should I be unhappy? My whole world should I be so blue? I can't keep holding on to a love that's gone. So I guess this is the right time to leave you. Well, I can't make something good out of a bad love. Cause I keep spinning my wheels each time I try. I'm gonna have to
day I die. Why, oh, why should I be unhappy? Why, oh, why should I be so blue? I can't keep holding on to a love that's going away. So I guess this is the right time to be. So I guess this is the right time to leave you.
Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code, Section 8686, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs.